I count it a great joy to be here tonight with you in this service. I'm honest when I say I can't think of any other place right now I'd rather be than right here in God's house, gathered with you who love the Lord and trying to worship Him in spirit and truth. I think that in the house of God, when the Holy Spirit is manifest, when the Word of God is open to our eyes that we may see, as our choir sang, I think that's about as close to heaven as we get on this earth. So thank you for being here, and God bless you. I invite your attention tonight to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1, as our focus verse, page 160 in the New Testament in the Pew Bibles. 160, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1. Paul is the one inspired of God to write these words, and these are the words he wrote. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And the title of my sermon tonight is Our Eternal Body. You thought about that? We're talking about our eternal home, but what about our eternal body? We're going to have one, brothers and sisters, and that's what it's telling us here. So you pray as we try to worship the Lord in the study of this passage of Scripture, and would you go to the Lord with me now to the throne of grace. Our eternal God and our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And I feel, Lord, that while we're here in the earth, we are assembled together to worship thee, and so we are here in your will. And I pray for your blessings upon each one here, Lord, that our eyes of understanding might be opened and our hearts and minds enlightened, that we may know your truth and understand it and rejoice in it as we believe it. And I do pray, Lord, that as a church, you will bless us to be a light shining in the community and a good witness of thine by not only our faithfulness to thee in service, but our daily walk of living. I pray for those in need, and there are so many, Lord, so many that we know of that are going through trials and tribulations that we can't begin to understand how heavy they are upon their hearts and lives. But where we cannot understand, you do. And your grace is always sufficient. Supply that needed grace and bless them according to your perfect will. And now, Lord, for a little while, bless us here in your house to sit together in heavenly places. Encourage others to come that we may give you due glory and praise and worship and praise and adore our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For it is in his name that we humbly pray. Amen. Our eternal body.
Think about that just for a moment. Let it soak in. You know, most of the time when we hear a funeral preached, or I endeavor to preach one, we're talking about the person dying and their spirit or life leaving their body and going home to be with the Lord. And that is addressed in the 8th verse of this particular chapter. You'll notice he says, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. And so I think that a lot of times our minds just contemplate and ponder the fact that when we die, our bodies will be laid before others, lifeless, but the life that has lived in that body will have gone to paradise to be in the presence of the Lord. But what I want to say to you tonight is that is not our eternal condition and state. We're not going to just live as a soul or as a life forever in heaven with God. God wants our bodies too. He made our bodies in His image and likeness. He sent His Son to die to pay the sin debt of our bodies. And He is going to resurrect us, as I mentioned this morning, and so that our bodies will live again. So it's not just to live in heaven in our invisible spirit and soul and life, but it's to have a body that lives in heaven with God eternally. And for that to be, for us to be able to do that, and for that to be our lot for eternity, we've got to have an eternal body in order for us to live in a body in heaven forever. So Paul is talking in this particular verse and in these verses that I've read in your hearing about things that are eternal. If you'll notice the last verse of the preceding chapter, he says, "While we look not at things which are seen, but at things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal." What I see here before me tonight, what you see as you look at me and you look around you, all of that's temporal. It's all something that's tangible here in the world. But the things which are not seen are eternal. We can't see God tonight. God's eternal God. We can't see Christ tonight. We can see Him by faith alone, but we can't see Him with our eyes, as I mentioned this morning. This sermon is going to, in a great way, connect to the morning sermon. I think that will become more obvious as I try to speak to you about what's on my heart. But we're going to see Him with our eyes, and that means we've got to have a spiritual body in heaven for us to be capable of doing that. Now, this particular verse of Scripture that I focused your attention on, Paul tells us that there's something we know. We know if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. How do we know that? We know it because it's in the Bible. It's taught of God. God inspired it to be shared with us. So not something that we're wondering about, something we have frequent debates about, not something that we think might happen. You know, you think about, well, I'm planning to do so-and-so tomorrow. Well, you just think you are. You don't know that you will, because the circumstances of tomorrow might change every plan you and I've made. We just think we're going to do it. But this is something we don't just think is going to happen. This is something we know is going to happen, because God has shared it with us in His Word. And His Word is truth, as Jesus said in John 17, verse 17. But I notice what Paul is telling us. He says, if our earthly house, of this tabernacle were dissolved. That's what happens in death. The earthly house of our tabernacle is dissolved. One of the President Adams was asked in his latter years of life, "How are you doing in old age?" And the response that I read was that he said, "Well," he said, "I'm doing fine. But the old house I'm living in is not doing so well. A lot of the shingles have come off the roof, a lot of cracks in the foundation, but I'm doing fine." You see, you know, he embraced and understood this, that we have an earthly house. A lot of the shingles have fallen off my roof. The cracks on the foundation seem to be getting wider because I'm progressing through the years and age. I'm beginning to feel like an old person in my life. I've already begun to experience that. So we understand by daily experience our earthly house. But he elaborates on that to say that it is the earthly house of our tabernacle. Now, I mentioned to you this morning from Exodus chapter 40, and I'm going to reiterate that verse, that there was a cloud that covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. That's Exodus 40, verse 34. Now, did you hear what I said when I read that, or quoted that, rather? The cloud, which I preached about this morning, had settled upon the tent of the congregation. That's what it was sometimes called. The tent, keep that in your mind momentarily. The tent of the congregation, when the cloud came on the tent of the congregation, the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Brothers and sisters, that's what the tabernacle was. It was the tent church. In the preceding chapters to that 40th chapter, God had been spelling out to Moses how the tabernacle was to be constructed. It was to have boards in it. Some of it was wood. Certain kinds of wood. Durable woods. Woods that could stand being put together and taken down again and again. And so that when they would move, God's tabernacle would move with them. They could break it down and they could move it and set it up again. And all the curtains and all the skins that insulated it and made it weatherproof were all things that could be taken off of it and folded up and moved to another place and set up. You see, what the tabernacle was a tent building. And you could take it down and set it up and go for a ways and take it back down. It was temporary. In fact, David, you remember, wanted to build a temple to God. He wanted to build a more permanent structure. He wanted to build this house in which people could worship century after century to the glory of God. And it wouldn't be a tent-type building. It would be a substantial, permanent building. God wouldn't allow him to build it. Told him he'd been a man of war, taken life. But God would allow his son Solomon to build it. And David laid up resources for Solomon to do that. But you know, when David built the temple, it still wasn't a permanent building. You ever thought about that? Solomon's temple only existed for 412 years. And it was destroyed. Zerubbabel built another temple. It only lasted 495 years and it was destroyed. Herod built a temple. It only lasted 70 years and it was destroyed. So even the temple, when it was built, very much in layout like the tabernacle, but it wasn't a permanent building. More permanent than the tabernacle, we could say, but not in itself a permanent building. But the tabernacle depicts our earthly body. It is the house in which our life and our soul lives. And so as time went on, it wore down on the old tabernacle. And as time goes on, it wears down our old tabernacles as well. There was a tabernacle made, the writer of Hebrews says in the ninth chapter in the second verse. And he goes on to describe that tabernacle that was made. It no longer exists, but it was made a long time ago. He said that you would enter in the sanctuary there, you would see the candlestick and you would see the table and the showbread. And behind the second curtain, there would be the most holy of holies where the Ark of the Covenant was. See, that's the way the tabernacle was constructed. It was laid out three times as long as it was wide and about as high as it was wide. And the first two-thirds was the sanctuary, the holy place. And the last third was the cubicle room called the Most Holy of Holies. But it was still a tabernacle. And in time, it disappeared. Do you have any idea what happened to the tabernacle? I don't. You have any idea what happened to the Ark of the Covenant? I don't. But I'm going to tell you something. There are a lot of people who look for the Ark of the Covenant. I wonder why. Some of them because of its religious significance, but some of them out of nothing more than the greed for the gold that was overlaid on it inside and out, and the wealth it would bring them. And nobody knows where it is. What happened to the tabernacle when it no longer was needed? I don't know. Was it dismantled and maybe used in some way in the temple? Were the metals, precious metals, melted down? I don't really know. But there seems to be no knowledge that I have or have run across anywhere of what happened to the tabernacle There was a tabernacle made, but there is no longer a tabernacle. And brothers and sisters, that fact is true of every earthly body. It comes forth in life. We live out our days and years. And we leave and move out of this worn out old tabernacle, our building, our home, our house. It is not eternal. It is temporary. It's the tent in which we live and dwell while we are on this earth. But as time goes on, it finishes its purpose and it's no longer in use and it's laid to rest in the cemetery somewhere where it goes back to the dust, so to speak. So, we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, it will be dissolved. It hasn't been dissolved yet, but it will be dissolved in time unless Jesus comes first. But what happens when we move out? Well, we'll go home to be with the Lord. Our bodies are laid to rest in the earth. It dissolves in time. If the tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, listen to this, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. The tabernacle we're in now will be dissolved. And then we're going to depend upon that house which is from heaven, that is eternal. Let me read to you a couple of verses that the Apostle Peter wrote in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. He found himself at the point of this writing, right where we find ourselves tonight. Verses 13 and 14 of the first chapter of 2 Peter. He said, Yes, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle. You hear him? He's talking about being in this tabernacle. Peter was still living in his tabernacle. As long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Peter is saying, I'm going to be serving the Lord while I'm in my tabernacle, but I know it won't be long, and I'm going to have to leave this tabernacle, because the Lord has shown him that. So the tabernacle, whether it's great saints of God, whether it's apostle of our Lord, we all have to leave this tabernacle. But thank God there is a building of God, a house not made with hands, which is eternal in the heavens. Now let me talk about the house just for a few minutes. We think about the house. And there is a house we think about is heaven, don't we? That's where the Lord is, and that's where his throne is, and that's where we hope to be in our spirits when we leave our house of tabernacle. To our men's brotherhood, I mentioned Psalm 23. And the last verse of that psalm and the last statement he makes is, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's a pretty enduring place, isn't it? Now, when you think about it, there is no place on this earth we can dwell forever. He wasn't talking about the sanctuary of God. The tabernacle was gone in time. The temple in time was gone. There's only one house of God. That's eternal. That's yonder with the Lord. That's eternal. That's the only place we can go, to the house of the Lord and live forever. It's the same idea that I understand in the words of Jesus in the Gospel of John chapter 14 and verse number 2. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Went on to say, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And my understanding of what Jesus is saying is that he is right now in the house of the Father. And he's going to come get us one day, and he's going to take us up there too. That's what we consider the house of God. But there is another house. This body is going to be changed, brothers and sisters. We are going to have an eternal body. That's right, we're going to have a body that can live without being affected by time or age or anything like that, or inclement weather or anything on this earth that we know and experience. We're going to have a body that is eternal, and he describes it as a house not made with hands that is eternal in the heavens. And notice here, verse 2, for in this we groan, earnestly desiring, listen now, to be clothed upon. This is not just somewhere we're going. This is to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. And notice on down in verse 4, for we that are in this tabernacle do groan. You groan a lot? I heard of a lady one time, her husband, as he got older, got to grunting a lot. She says, does grunting help? He said, I think it does. She said, well, go on and keep grunting then. You know, we get to the place in life that the grasshopper becomes a burden. And the voice of music is brought low. And we're looking out of the windows, or the eyes become dim. We that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened. There's families groaning under loss of loved ones. There's families groaning under sickness and afflictions. Not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon that mortality might be swallowed up of life. See? That's what he's looking forward to. And brothers and sisters, if I understand the Word of God, there is an eternal body in which our soul shall live, and it will be our eternal house, our eternal body. I mentioned this morning the resurrection of our Lord, but I want to tell you a little bit more about this. When Jesus carried his disciples, some of them, up to the Mount of Transfiguration, it's recorded in Matthew chapter 17, he carried them up and was, the second verse says that he was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was as white as the light. When Jesus carried his disciples, his apostles, on the Mount of Transfiguration, and when he was suddenly and gloriously transformed in front of them, he gave them an insight, a preview, a better understanding of what their eternal body was going to be like. And that's why he's transfigured there in a glorious body, because that's what we'll have, a glorious body. I mentioned this morning from 1 Corinthians, and I'm not going back all of that again, but I'm going to bring out some other verses that are there. In the 44th verse of 1 Corinthians 15, it talks about our body. It is sown a natural body. Now listen carefully. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, he says, and there is a spiritual body. Praise God. I'm so thankful to know that's true. And that's what he's telling us. There is a natural body. I'm in it. You're in it. But we're going to lay it aside one day. We're going to move out of the old house. We're going to go to heaven and wait in spirit and life until Jesus comes. And when he comes back and resurrects us, our resurrected body will be a spiritual body. And our soul and life will be reunited with it. That's why he shall bring our life with him and raise our bodies and we'll be reunited. Then our glorified eternal body shall be carried back with him to heaven's blessed world of glory. You got that hope in your heart tonight, brothers and sisters? I surely do in mine, I'll tell you. The older I get and more this old body begins to get cracks and begins to break down, the more I look forward to that eternal body that will not be affected by all these things of time anymore. But it's a spiritual body. Now he says this in the 49th verse. As we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. What's he talking about? My body is in, you know, it's basically, you could say it's from Adam. This is my Adamic nature. My body, nature, my body and my being. But I'm going to bear not just the body of flesh like God created for Adam. I'm going to have a spiritual body as Jesus has. You know, brothers and sisters, God shall change our vile bodies that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Philippians chapter 3 verse 21 says that this body is going to be changed. It'll be laid in the ground. It'll decay. Why? It doesn't matter what it looked like now. It doesn't matter what it is now. What matters is it. What it will be resurrected to be. And God, who will resurrect our body through our Lord Jesus Christ, will change this vile body. And it is a vile body. That's why it's affected by sin. There's sin in our nature and sin in our being. This old vile body is going to be changed, likened to the glorious image of Jesus and his spiritual resurrected body. We're going to be made like him. So we're going to have that eternal body which is to come. And we'll lay this one aside. And when he comes to raise it, he'll raise it as our spiritual eternal body. Now, he says, and I mentioned this morning, for this corruptible must inherit incorruption. And this mortal must inherit immortality, must become changed. My corruptible body, this is my tabernacle. You're looking at it. Corruptible. Mortal. That's all I am. You know, I look at you and you look at me. But I don't really know what you look like. I just know what your house looks like. And you know what my house looks like. You can't see this man that's living inside. I can't see the man that's living or the woman living inside you. Did you notice he talked about that in verse 16 of the preceding chapter? Which cause we faint not, though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. See? There's this outward man, but there's an inward man. The inward man is living in the house of this tabernacle. You can't see my inward man. God does, but you can't. All you see is my outward man, my house of habitation. Sometimes people say, Brother Bill, and when that's seen me a long time, said, yeah, it changed a bit. When I look at my old photographs, I see a world of change. I don't see that young man that I used to be with a head full of coal black hair and black rimmed glasses, full of energy and vitality in life. I don't see that anymore. But I'm so thankful to God that this is not all there is, you see. There's something better coming, something more blessed. And that is the inner man is going to have one day an eternal body to live in. World without end. And that's my hope. That this corruptible body, you know how I know it's corruptible? Because it's slowly decaying. That's why I'm getting more gray hair. That's why I'm getting more wrinkles. That's why I'm getting weaker. My muscle tissues are breaking down. I can't pick up things as heavy as I used to. I can't walk as fast as I once did. There are all kinds of changes in my body. Why? It's a corruptible body. It's slowly dying. But that body that is eternal in the heavens, it will never get old and never weaken and never die. We're going to be with God forever and ever. See? This corruptible will become incorruptible, and this mortal will become immortal, and thus, when we are resurrected and we are changed from the natural to the spiritual, then we will have our house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. What does it mean, not made with hands? Think about it. Where did I come from and where did you come from? We came from our biological parents. There's a sense in which we are the byproduct of our parents. They are humans and we are their offsprings as humans. The tabernacle, what was it? It was made with hands. The temple was made with hands. This building was made with hands. But one day, we will dwell in a building that's not made with hands. We'll have a body that's not made with hands, that's eternal in the heavens. We'll have the house of our Heavenly Father. In my Father's house are many mansions. We're going to have a place there where our spiritual body will dwell there in that house with God, our Heavenly Father, and with the great redeemed eternal family of God. What a hope. What a blessed hope. And though we grow weaker with each passing day, and know always that we will lay aside this earthly house one day, we have the bright prospect that there is something far, far better that is waiting on us. An eternal body, an eternal house not made with hands that is eternal in the heavens. And we won't need this earth anymore. And we won't need our earthly ties anymore. Isn't it a marvelous thing that God has taken in this word and revealed all these truths to us? I didn't make this up, you know. This is not what I dreamed about last night. And I wrote out a pretty story to tell you. Kind of get you encouraged. Kind of get you uplifted face the week. You know, it's really not all about that. It's about the glory of God and what He's done for us, really. To worship Him and praise Him, and He's done that. In fact, Paul said in his second letter to Timothy that Jesus Christ abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. 2 Timothy 1:10. I'm talking to you tonight about life and immortality, to bring it to light through the Word of God. My prayer is that God will bless it for the joy, the peace, the sense of anticipation of what is coming for us. And that while we're here, like Peter, while we're still in this body, let us be sharing His word and doing the work that God has called upon us to do before we lay this earthly house aside. God help us to do that for His glory too, is my prayer for Christ's sake.